Good afternoon once again.
Afternoon.
Greetings to all of you. Happy High Holy Day Sabbath to you. This time, just get right into it. If you would turn to Leviticus chapter 23, please. As you know, Leviticus 23 is where God instructs his people, those whom he has called to observe God's feasts. The instructions are there. So if you would please refer to Leviticus chapter 23, we're going to read the instructions from there. Leviticus 23 verse 1 reads as follows. And the Eternal spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, Concerning the feasts of the Eternal, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. Once again, these feasts are not the feasts of the federal government. They're not the feasts of the Jewish people. They're not the feasts of the Mormons, Baptists, or any other group. They are the feasts of the Lord, the Almighty. It is for this reason, it is for this cause that we are here. And it is for this reason that we are out of step with the rest of society, who right now is in school, at work, going about their business, swimming, or what have you. Do not let that get you down. Don't let it seem as if that makes you crazy or out of your mind. It does not. You and I are to keep following the Eternal and his ways. For in the end, you and I will win. We will win. Moving on. Verse 3. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Eternal in all your dwellings. Skipping ahead to verse 23 regarding this memorial that we're celebrating. It reads in verse 23, As the Eternal spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, that's today. I know that the pagan calendar says September and that it's supposedly the ninth month, but according to God's calendar, today is the seventh month, first day of the month. In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation, a holy assembly. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Eternal. The holy days reflect God's plan of salvation for all of mankind and points to Jesus Christ, our Savior. Our spring season includes the Passover, in which we observe the Lord's Supper, and the ritual of foot washing. Jesus Christ is our Passover, sacrificed for us. He laid down his life for our sins, having never sinned himself. Following Passover are the days of unleavened bread. During those days, no leaven is to be found in our homes, for during that period, leaven represents a type of sin. Eating unleavened bread is symbolic with metaphorically imbibing Jesus Christ, his principles, imbibing his character, imbibing his morals, his virtues, his moral principles. We ought to do that for 7 days. Seven representing a number of completion, indicating that we are to do that, committing our life to Jesus Christ entirely. The scriptures identify Jesus as the bread of life, which is symbolic, of course, also of the days of unleavened bread. During these days of unleavened bread, the wave sheaf offering took place. The wave sheaf offering is always presented before God on the first day of the week. Jesus Christ represents the wave sheaf offering. He was the one who told Mary Magdalene. He said after his resurrection, Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. Of course, if you know the story later on, he did allow his disciples to touch him, Thomas having touched his wounds. Seven Sabbaths plus 1 day from this event leads us to Pentecost, which is regarded as the birthday of the church. The first time throughout all history that God the Father allowed mankind to receive His Holy Spirit, making it available to them through repentance and through baptism. Those who accept the call are considered to be His first fruits. And here we are today. Today we are here to commemorate the memorial of the blowing of trumpets. We are here because God commanded us to observe this day as part of a witness and warning to those who do not. Trumpets were blown before each feast, each festival. There were two principal kinds of trumpets. The first was called the Kasazra, which was long and made of silver. The second one was, of course, is the picture you see, the shofar, made of a ram's horn. The other type of trumpet that is mentioned in Scripture is called the yobel, and it refers to the jubilee horn, and it was actually played during the year of Jubilee. There are various purposes and themes for this day that we are observing. This day obviously points to the return of Jesus Christ of Nazareth to this earth, to lead it and to direct it His way based on His laws. But it also reminds us of our personal responsibility to be a witness and warning to our society, both in word and in deed. Having God's Holy Spirit, as we talked about through Pentecost, equips us and frees us to be the witness and warning that God called us to be. With that, if you would please turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 58. Isaiah 58. In this chapter, God talks about proper fasting. We'll deal with that next week. Today, we'll deal with Isaiah 58 and only one verse. And it reads in chapter 58, verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Do you realize that there is nothing quiet about a trumpet? There is nothing, you can't play that instrument quietly. If you make the smallest sound, it just generates a loud booming sound. The instrument is designed to be loud and noticeable. It is an attention grabber. We're commanded here to show people their transgression. But we live in a hostile environment, folks. People don't really want to be shown their transgression. When you try to tell folks about their transgressions, they stop calling you. They stop talking to you, speaking to you. They criticize you for being a goody two-shoes, or holier than thou. They accuse you of not minding your own business. Truthfully, they desire to do you like what was done to John the Baptist, who for all of his crying aloud and sparing not, and raising his voice like a trumpet, for all that he done, he was beheaded. And so the question is, knowing that, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to go through the same sufferings similar to what John the Baptist did? Are we willing to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service? God wants us to cry aloud despite the criticisms and despite the ridicule. The condition of man is God's business. Therefore, as ambassadors of Christ, we have a mandate to carry out God's business, which is to witness and warn those people. And we have to fulfill this commandment, even if it means the loss of familial relationships, you beautiful people. But even if it means the loss of familial and friends, we have to do what is necessary to the pleasing of God. And along that note, please turn to Ezekiel chapter 33. As we talk about the work of the watchman, Ezekiel 33. As in this chapter, God has a lot to say about our calling and what we are to do. Ezekiel chapter 33, It reads as follows. Again, verse 1. Again, the word of the Eternal came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast, and set him for their watchman, if, when he sees the sword come upon the land, he blows the trumpet, and warn the people, then whosoever hears the sound of the trumpet, and takes not warning, if the sword come and takes him away, his blood be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, verse 5, and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his own soul. Their attitude is, while you're doing the work of the watchman, oh, just shut up, Mr. Watchman. Just shut up. You talk too much, Mr. Watchman. We heard you already. Please, just be quiet. You're going to hear that and worse in your lifetime. Continue to fight the good fight. Do your part. Warn and move on. Verse 6, continuing on. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come, and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. The watchman's attitude is, oh, you know what? Just let him die. Just let him die. You know why? Because they're just fill in the blank. You know, they're just trawlers. They just trawl unclean seafood. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about being a watchman toward these people. Some watchmen have the attitude in this society that, oh, you know, they're Caucasians. They're blacks. They're Chinese. They're illegal aliens. Don't worry about them. They're Mexicans. Jonah's attitude was, you know, they're Assyrians. I don't really want to give them the message at all. God's message here is that should not be the attitude of the watchman. In spite of our personal feelings, in spite of what we think, we have to carry out God's mandate. Continuing on, verse 7. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, verse 8, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If you dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Please keep this in mind, church. Blowing your trumpet requires the action of speech, both through your mouth and in your lifestyle. If you and I aren't living the life, if our trumpet is being used to blow tale-bearing, gossip, if we're spreading lies and confusion, it doesn't matter what the trumpet is being blown for in the quote name of Christ. The blowing is vain. It is worthless. It is a waste of time. So please keep that in mind. Moving on to verse 9. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to